Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, all. I'm making elegant effort, not so elegant, to scroll this evening's soundtrack. Welcome aboard, time shippers. Gonna have to tone that down some, son. You're not quite ready for the stellar exaltation of our local star. In fact, half of y'all pulled by the Oregonian a couple of years ago didn't even know how many days it took you to get around your local star. We're here to remind you it's okay. 365 days. Primary ring of the thing can do this. There is a moon. There's an earth. There is a sun. And there are orbital wings to this heliospheric trip that we're on. Good, but we want to take time out of our conventional program to welcome you in to a very special edition of Stellar Excitation, that which we call a hyperactivation portal day. Hyperactivation, meaning that there's something up, something out there. It's going to be okay. Hemp, hemp, hooray. Welcome back, Keen. How you doing? We want to welcome aboard my wingman tonight, Solar Wayward Seer of sorts, another spore awakening into the path of the biotelepathic conductor as we work to bring you some distinct insight into what's happening in the big picture and what we can do with this. And what we can do with this is actually quite profound as we tune in and attune to the subtle influences, which to some aren't so subtle. There's a lot of people who are having a hard time with stellar excitation because, to make it very simple, it's equivalent to going from a 2400 baud K old school modem into a 4G super speed of data compression overnight. And this is what our political scientists and our so-called leaders should be aware of as they try to wrap their minds around the dynamics of our time, which requires a great deal of insight and cooperation if we're going to be able to participate in a befitting fashion and inspire each other in the course of accomplishing what seems to be the impossible, which would have to be the first planetary world peace. Well, in this case, drawn upon a little insight and some mojo from a southern man, bringing you on board there, Ruben. How you doing?
Hey, Jason.
Right, man.
How are you?
Good.
Thank you for the invitation again. Thank you for keep the dialogue open.
Yep.
Well, and with the eyes open to what is going on. Mm-hmm. Tracking the solar excitation, like you mentioned, is not very is putting out of our comfort zones, and the sun now is charging on Taurus. So this is going to be a really interesting time from here to the solstice. We have a lot of activity accompanying and causing that solar excitation, we have I can bet that since we are entering into a conjunction of Jupiter and the Sun, that is going to last like from today until the next 8 days. That is, Jupiter is infusing our star with energy and with the all the eclipses and alignments that are coming in this month, I can bet that it's going to be a very interesting show in the sky.
And that's why I'm glad you're with me and and I with you, because to really piece this together, to look at it, to take it apart, put it back.
Hello?
What I am aware of are the relationships that that step down into the terrestrial domain, and that these influences and these transits and facets of energy and movement definitely.
Yeah, yeah, and when we. It's very interesting to also compare the activity that we are having in the Sun and with all these alignments and eclipses with the actual timeline of the prophecy and the last cycles of transformation, the document that Jose Arguelles left as the last piece of the prophecy. And it's really, for me, it's really amazing to be speaking today. That is the start of the 613-day cycles of the Lord of the Dawn is starting. So we have 226 kings to go for December 2012. And like you were mentioning, it's sounds like an impossible to reach first planetary world peace in 226 days, but we don't know. These energies can really shape things really quick, and we are entering the really peak of the crest. So anything goes right now, and it's always good to have high expectations, although things right now doesn't look too optimistic. And I can bet that if Votan were still alive, we'll be like, whoa, we are kind of behind schedule. But I think that is still possible with some divine intervention, of course.
A little help from above
and help we need from some resources from all the galactic brothers and sisters.
Hey, talk about reinforcements. This is the second time I've seen a video that encapsulates the UFO activity that's occurred in the last 2 years, and it is so strikingly phenomenal.
Yeah,
and it's all over the map. I mean, these events are so incredibly awesome, and I don't think there's very many people out there, except for you bumpkins on the Lunatic Fringe, who have not heard of some kind of galactic federation.
And it's. Well, you go to YouTube and you see so many videos and so many testimonials and so many proof that there is something going on. But we are like still in this stage of denial, as a species, that we don't understand that we are not alone in this universe, and probably that consciousness is what is also manifesting all this balance here, because the moment that we acknowledge that we are just one more threat in the scheme of this galaxy, which is a very important threat. It's not any threat that we are not alone on this journey.
Now, Ruben, you said threat, right? You said threat.
Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha. Copy.
Threat like a threat of a fabric. Not. Well, we are a threat to the planet, but in terms of galactic tapestry, we are one thread of that tapestry of the galaxy. So the moment that we reconnect with the calendar and with the knowledge of our ancestors, then we can really look to the future with new eyes, because that's actually what nature does to create. The Fibonacci sequences is nothing more and nothing less like the mathematical description of what nature does when it's growing. She's looking back to the last two steps that she did to create the next. And if we don't know where we are in terms of galactic time, and we cannot see that we missed last time that we were around this area, we are fooled to repeat the same errors and to continue the wheel of karma. So this is the exit of the
nice
carousel, and the more that we are aware of that, this is a window of opportunity that is opening, especially today, or since May 5, I think, since the 555, the supermoon kind of opened like this portal of energies that is just going to pile up. Now we have Jupiter conjuncting the Sun. We are entering the dog days, which is Sirius. We know how important the cycle of Sirius is in this whole cosmology. So we are getting the support of so many planetary energies and forces that are really conducting the process through us and bringing change in our DNA. So basically, I hope that the only hope for humanity right now is just to integrate those codes automatically by grace, let's say, we are going to experiment somehow within the next 2 years when we have a much better feeling of the noosphere. I think that those energies are going to just activate all the people, or awake all the people who are still in artificial time in a totally disconnected state of consciousness regarding time. Because the more that we stay in this paradigm of counting days as if we are in a linear fashion and dividing the timeline just from the moment that Jesus Christ was born, which is not really even an event that is accurate, that we know the date. So the moment that we can connect that cable that was disconnected a long time ago, I think everything is going to kind of go back to normal automatically. And we don't have to educate the people about the calendar so much, but somehow the calendar is going to activate the people. That's my hope, because we are really close to the date, and the noosphere doesn't look very very close, but the magic of the calendar is that we are kind of reaching the end of the movie, and everything looks really horrible, but somehow something's going to shift the tables or the scales and create this event that we are talking about off the show about having a new economic system or having a real acknowledgement of galactic or intergalactic presence of on this planet. So let's say that I'm really excited of what is going on and what is going to be manifested with these energies that are coming to the planet. This stellar excitation is let's say that softened by the Venus transit, by the eclipses, by the meteor showers, by the support of Sirius, the directing the process from behind. So it doesn't look like that, but we are right on schedule.
Yeah, just to recap, Ruben, because I hear some of the dropouts on occasion from the internet connection that maybe you don't, but let me just recap a few things here. That what you said was is that we're entering into the last 226 days to the winter solstice, 12/21/12.
Yeah.
And that this special edition speak out is essentially to intensify our awareness and also the interests of our audience with recent events that have occurred that you can appreciate and actually participate in as you attune to the dynamics of time and consciousness. In this case, it takes about, and you can correct me, Ruben, if I'm wrong, but I think it takes 24 to 48 hours for the energy of a CME or a coronal mass ejection to reach the electromagnetic field of the Earth.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Nonetheless, depending on that depends on the speed of the solar winds.
Right.
And for instance, if we go today, because today is this big portal day, the starting of this ninth cycle, which is kind of the transformation cycle. So we are expecting big shifts, or at least change that is evident in terms of dismantling the solstice. Exactly.
Yeah, the behaviors.
Exactly. So the idea is to really be aware of that window that is opening energetically, and work the day-to-day energies of the calendar and compare to what is going on in the sky. And today we had these two M flares, which were one after the other, and they are supposed to reach within 24, 48 hours. But I felt the energy today, the spike in the energy, and I'm spending my day with a little headache all day long. So that let's say that in the time space, I think that it takes that amount of time. But the moment that you really connect to the consciousness, the solar consciousness, the calendar, and the Kinich Ahau energy, I think that the shifts are being kind of broadcasted in a simultaneous way or instant. So in every spike of the sun, it doesn't have to for some of the people that are in this planet that are following what is going on with the sun, they can really track the parallel between the ups and downs in daily life and in probably in your state of the energy, how you experience the energy of the day and the solar activity. So,
yeah, the part contains the whole, and what you're tuning into is really the big picture. And to recap again, because our transmission tonight does sound like it's receiving, it's not as clear as usual, and so you might have anomalies in communications, satellite systems, electrical fields, this type of thing.
Yeah.
And to bring people
actually,
back.
Sorry, so continue, and I will add a little note on that.
Okay, some sauce. to bring people back as. I really appreciate the Zolk'in and the science of synchronicity from the perspective of the harmonic index. 2 days ago, we experienced what's referred to as a galactic activation portal day, and until recently, we haven't really understood the dynamism of a galactic activation portal day and, say, sunspots. But there seems to be a correlate dynamic between the sunspots and the hyper portal days that we can begin to track and appreciate in authenticating the instruments of intelligence and calibrating our activities and our awareness to the cycles of nature to bring our listeners back. We had a huge sunspot that's being tracked. Wizard who's got half a wit, which is being referred to as AR-1476, which is described as a crackling of M-class solar flares, which is to date the largest set of flares that appear to be on the verge of producing something much stronger.
I spent some time in the blogosphere and in Facebook contacting people from different places of the world, aficionados who are not really aficionados. These people are really pros, because with a small connection, internet connection, they just track the solar activity and they are forecasting real. A real indication of how that solar activity is affecting the planet at a seismic level, and it's a science on development on the web, which is very interesting because it's kind of everybody's has a piece of the puzzle and can do the correlations. For instance, when there is a certain explosion at certain latitude on the sun, the seismic effect is going to be felt on Earth on that same latitude on the area or geographical area that was facing the sun during that moment of the explosion. So I've been following these cats for 2 years, and I can see they have an amazing record of
activity and
activity,
so on.
That is, it's something that you will by hard scientists will be never recognized as valid, because it's shattering all the paradigms about seismology and the way Earth works, really.
Yeah, so, nobody wants to lose their job, or nobody wants to risk their whatever. And the fact of the matter is, bro, it's like the government's not telling the people.
Yeah.
It's not the government that's giving you this insight and this information. This is coming from yours truly. This is coming through the light line, through the Planet Art Network, through the intelligence of the noosphere. To give you an idea as to how these sunspots, these beta, gamma, delta magnetic fields, are facets of force, and how the Earth is entering into a line of fire as the sunspot rotates across the face of the sun, and essentially prepares to release a gamma dose of high voltage into the atmosphere.
Yeah, this is basically a period like it's a Russian roulette, a little bit like that, because one sunspot like this one can really create some trouble in our power grid if it happens to bring an explosion that is above X level and that is Earth directed, so that can like it's that window that you know that is a kind of a orange window, because there is a high risk that based on statistics the amount of activity that one sunspot like this one presents creates more probability of an X event to happen. So anything from that moment, anything could change in an instant and on this planet, and it doesn't have to be a total blockage or blockout, but let's say that one big city can be affected or something like that, like what happened in New York a few years ago or what happened in Quebec, that due to solar activity, although we know that they don't make a lot of noise about it, those two cities were knocked out. So the probability is always there, and it's something that we trust that is going to be for the highest good, because it's the solar consciousness is not trying to harm anyone. Like, we have also been programmed to believe that we have this to protect from the sun and to hide from the sun and not to look at the sun. And in that disconnection of that consciousness is where all the imbalances, especially of the masculine, are rooted. Also,
well, we've been hammered.
Yeah, and yeah. we have this also fear of the sun, because we know that it can put down the power grid, but it can also activate the noosphere. So we need to stop judging only from a 3D level what could happen, because we know that we are right now into the final phases of assemblage of the noosphere. So the same solar activity that can fry the power grid can activate the atmosphere. So it's let's say that it's there is always a different way to see it depending on the perspective that you are seeing for the 3D or the way that the calendar and the green spell looks at it, which is the sun directing the evolutionary process.
That's right. So essentially what that means is that we all get it together or we don't get it at all. And so, Ruben, I want to thank you again for coming on board, and we've got a few minutes left in this program. And
okay.
In Lakesh to you, my friend. This is Pan Agent 57, Keen 113 on the line. Today is Spectrum Moon 8. This is the second week, the first day of the second week, Keen 241. And keep it short and sweet. You can discover the elegance of for yourself by dialing up splashwebs.org. Or you can tune into the Earth Channel 2012 at your blog talk radio utility. And I suspect we're going to be in touch, and we'll have a chance to reminisce and hopefully get down to some high ceremony.
Yeah, we need, actually. I was checking a video from a Hawaiian astrologer, which is like a very, he's a shaman. He's not like these astrologers, commercial astrologers. And he was saying that this is we're entering into so many really positive and nurturing alignments with Venus and the eclipses and the alignment with the conjunction with Jupiter, that we should do a little ceremony kind of every day and be thankful for those energies, because ceremony is what is the return to the sacred, and the return to the law of time, and the return to balance, the return to peace. So
yeah, man. Yeah, whether it be through ceremonies, affirmations, confirmation, prayers,
yes,
all of that's in the in the bag or on the palette, you know.
Yeah. So yeah, I would love to have another chance to talk about the Quetzalcoatl 9/11 connection, now that we are approaching the solar galactic signature of 9/11, which is for Monkey, and is going to be on a very special day. So it seems another small window that we should put us more attention than normally, because in that weekend is compressed the eclipse, the Feast of Ascension, some political and economical important meetings, and it's going to be the first days of the conjunction with Sirius, which always bring a lot of heat to the energies. So based on that intense activity that we are going to have, and having the anniversary of 9/11 the anniversary, I mean one Solkin spin, we will have the chance to see how the scales are tipping now the other way around, and it seems like around those days we could have a very symbolic 9/11, but the start of the fall of the 1260 paradigm and a new financial system emerging, probably. But who knows? Anyway, it's like it's good to make the connection and set the intention for that day to experience a real reversal of that day in history, the impact that event made in human consciousness will be balanced out this time with a very positive event. So
nice. It'd be rewired, is what he's saying. We're rewired and recapped. Well,
yeah.
Ruben, I want to thank you. We're gonna roll out here with a last minute piece of pie that was left over from the Galactic Ordering Dynamics segment, discussing the pulsar power in the 13 moon wave spell. And cool. Today is Gregorian May 9th. We've got a solar eclipse coming on. We've got big stellar excitation. I want to thank you again, Ruben, and
thank you for the invitation.
Awesome, man. Program another segment. Let's stay hot to trot, and I'm hoping to get down there in the near future.
Yeah, we hope to see you here to bring the fire back.
Yeah, man. Let's keep it.
Okay.
And forward it.
Okay.
All right. In La Keshe, my friend.
In La Keshe.
Each of these tones, cada uno de estos tonos, or numbers, has in relationship to each other,
en relación con cada uno de ellos,
has a particular significance or power or meaning.
Tiene un significado particular o poder.
So that we see that the first tone is the magnetic.
Así que decimos que el primer tono es el magnético.
And it attracts.
Atrae.
Okay, the second is the lunar, which polarizes and stabilizes.
El segundo es el lunar, que polariza y estabiliza.
The third is the electric, which activates.
El tercero es el eléctrico, que activa.
If you think of this in terms of simple geometry,
si pensamos esto en geometría simple,
mm-hmm. The first is a point.
Primero hay un punto.
The second lunar tone is a line.
El segundo punto sería una línea,
which always divides, polarizes.
Que siempre divide, polariza.
And the third,
y el tercero,
which activates, creates a triangle.
Que activa, crea el triángulo.
And that this is the primary form.
Y esta es la forma primaria
that establishes the connection between the fourth and the third dimension.
Y este establece la conexión entre la cuarta y la tercera dimensión.
When you take the three triangles, for instance,
y cuando tomamos los dos triángulos, por ejemplo,
and connect them,
y los conectamos,
that they create a fourth.
Los tres crean un cuarto.
And that creates the tetrahedron.
Y eso crea el tetraedro.
And that the tetrahedron is the most primary form.
Y el tetraedro es la forma
form.
Primaria.
Yeah. And so that the tetrahedron is the most primary form that is projected from the fourth dimension into the third dimension.
Y esta forma tetraédrica se proyecta desde la